Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
The FT Arts Podcast is brought to you by Vacheron Constantin.
Hello, I'm Hilary Kirby, and this is the latest in our series, The Life of a Song. This week, I heard it through the grapevine. Motown boss Berry Gordy had a quality control department for deciding whether a song should be released. If you only had enough money for this record or a sandwich, he would ask staff, producers and writers at the hit factory, which would you buy? Or he would play a song through a rigged-up car stereo system to test how it might sound going down the highway. It worked, producing hit after hit. Sometimes, however, the department missed the best. In 1966, singer-songwriter Barrett Strong came up with an idea for a song based on the expression "through the grapevine" that he kept hearing on the streets of Chicago. The phrase had its roots in the days of the slave trade. The grapevine telegraph had been the system of communication used by slaves during the American Civil War. Prohibited from learning to read, they passed on news by word of mouth. Strong took his song to Motown producer Norman Whitfield. Together, they worked it up into "I Heard It Through the Grapevine," a dramatic tale of romantic betrayal. Whitfield recorded a version with the Miracles in 1966, but the Motown committee decided they'd rather buy a sandwich. The following year, Marvin Gaye recorded it, but it was Gordy himself who vetoed it as a single. Finally, Grapevine was released by Gladys Knight and the Pips in 1967 in a new, more up-tempo arrangement. It was a hit, reaching number 2 in the charts. Meanwhile, Gaye's version was awaiting its moment. He had recorded the song over 5 sessions with a backing ensemble that included the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, with Whitfield pushing him to sing in a higher key than his normal range. The song made its way onto Gaye's 1968 album, In the Groove. When the album was released, Grapevine was picked up by E. Rodney Jones, a DJ at Chicago's black community radio station, WVON. Afterwards, he told Motown marketing man Phil Jones that the phones lit up. No wonder. Listeners were gripped by the ominous intro, the bass line, the brass, the jittery piano, the restrained first-person narrative, the perfectly controlled anguish of Gaye's voice. Motown, swayed by public opinion, released it as a single, and it became the label's biggest-selling hit to date. A couple of years later, Creedence Clearwater Revival covered the song in an overblown 11-minute version for their album Cosmos Factory. But it was an English-based all-female punk band, The Slits, who were to give the song its most radical reinterpretation. In tune with the rule-breaking spirit of the times, The Slits happily admitted that they could neither write songs nor play their instruments. Nevertheless, they supported The Clash on tour, and in 1979, they found themselves signed to Island Records. Reggae star Dennis Brown had been sent in to produce their first studio session, but it became apparent that he did not know his way around the mixing desk. The Slits gave Brown the boot and found themselves in the studio with a woman called Rima, who had come along with Brown's entourage to help out and make the tea. Rima said she had a bit of studio experience and took over at the controls. Together, the women worked out how they wanted the song to sound, giving it a strong reggae vibe. They couldn't afford a brass section, so they sang the horn parts. Then behind 17-year-old German lead singer Ariup's vocals, they chanted, "Grapevine, grapevine," over and over, using, as Slits guitarist Viv Albertine later said, our real voices, not little girl voices, the way so many girls sing. This DIY production yielded a recording that's wild, patched together, ferocious, raw, a total contrast to Motown's Pop Factory classic.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.